Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. I think we should probably get started. Welcome to our afternoon panel entitled Ordered Liberty in the Digital Age. I appreciate all coming together like this. We have three speakers for our panel, who I'll mention very briefly before getting into some longer introductions. To my left here is Professor Samuel Bostaff from the University of Dallas. Next to him is David Keyes, who is the co-founder of CyberDissidents.org. And on the end here, Adam Kuiper with the Ethics and Public Policy Center, one of my favorite institutions. Really want to thank the Philadelphia Society for having me here in this capacity. Although there are a few who have already threatened to throw a few things at me, so we'll see how that goes. And I suppose I should introduce myself. My name is Kevin Mooney. I'm with a group called Americans for Limited Government. We're a relatively small think tank based just outside of Washington. We're almost exclusively focused on libertarian ideas, although we certainly have our convictions in areas of cultural conservatism. Just to do the biddings of our donors, we tend to focus on financial questions. Before I transition over to our panel, I think I'll just spend a few minutes talking about Professor Richard Weaver, since he's the inspiration for our talk today. For those of us who do have some of those libertarian impulses, I couldn't help but notice that there are a few references and ideas that are less than complimentary towards some of us, or at least a little bit biting. For example, he wrote, "Loving comfort, risking little, the middle class was besotted. Its aim is to establish a materialist civilization. The bourgeois mentality," he later continued, "is psychopathic in its alienation from reality." Feeling a little sullied and bruised, I turned to one of my mentors and a very careful historian who's held some high positions in the society here, who actually quantified his criticisms quite exactly. He said, actually, there are at least 12 different references like that and ideas, and by the way, you deserve every single one of them. That's a tough crowd. Well, as many of you know, over time, Richard Weaver's views modify some in that area. In fact, if you look on our website, some of his later speeches actually include a very robust defense of ideas of economic freedom. So he did come around a little bit on this, but I do have to say that certainly some of his tempering influences, I think, are very much in order today, too. Certainly he was someone, we have to say, was defined by his many aversions, whether you're talking about pragmatism, positivism, naturalism, I think any form of relativism that denied universal truths. At the top of his list of dislikes was the news media. And I'm referring now to his second book, The Ethics of Rhetoric. How can one hesitate to conclude that we would live in greater peace and enjoy sounder moral health if the institution of the newspaper were abolished? Here in the 21st century, that actually seems to be coming to some fruition. Picture magazines and tabloid newspapers placed before the millions, scenes and facts which violate every definition of humanity. The rise of sensational journalism everywhere testifies to man's loss of points of reference to his determination to enjoy the forbidden in the name of freedom. So we can only imagine what he might think of the internet and the way it sort of advances and opens up some very rough discourse. But I suppose the question that we're asking today is, might not his preferred style of rhetoric find greater expression and amplification here in the digital age and through the power of the internet? I think the answer to that might be yes. Let me turn to your attention an analysis he offered up in his second book of President Lincoln's House Divided speech, which we heard a little bit about this morning, the speech he gave at the Republican State Convention in Springfield, Illinois. And this is a great line. "How manifest it is that Lincoln's position was not one of tolerance, as that word is vulgarly understood today. Amen." Although, if anything, I think the misuse and misapplication of tolerance in the news media has actually gotten worse. "It was a definite insistence upon right," he continued, "with no regard for latitude and longitude in moral questions. For Lincoln, such questions could neither be relativistically decided nor held in abeyance. There was no middle ground." I think a media personality today who does avoid the false middle ground and does it in a very effective, forceful way, I think, honestly, is Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck cannot be so easily dismissed, I think, because he does argue from definition and does reach back across history. If you see some of his recent programs, the way he unpackages and unwinds the progressive era and the great violence that it did to the founding period, I can't think of anyone who's penetrating the popular culture with those ideas with as much force and verve as he has. I understand we've done that in great detail here, But I don't think in this age any of us can afford to be technophobes, which is why I think Glenn Beck is so important. Not very easy to define. He's not really a newsman in any conventional sense, not really a preacher, certainly not a politician. I would call him a digital evangelist for the founding period, I think is the best way to describe him. Recently, too, if you notice some of his recent programs, he's gone back and explored the relationship the progressives had to the civil rights movement, which is not something that's really explored or discussed, certainly in public schools, or certainly at very least it's mistaught. He's gone at some great length about the antipathy self-described progressives had toward the civil rights movement. His speech at the Lincoln Memorial, for example, which coincided with Martin Luther King, the 40th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, I thought really kind of represented a major turning point. And I think an interesting moment in the conservative movement. Something else Glenn Beck did exactly 1 year ago this month, by the way, was to tie in the relationship between contemporary environmental extremists and former communists. And this gets into Van Jones, Obama's environmental czar, who was dismissed exactly 1 year ago this month. I think in the absence of Glenn Beck, he'd still be there. Of course, the flip side of that is that he was replaced by somebody who was just as damaging. But I'd like to think we're making some form of progress. I think in our own way here, all of our speakers avoid the false middle ground and use internet tools in a very smart, efficient, effective way. I don't know how all of you feel about being interlinked with Glenn Beck, but I thought I would solve that problem by just not mentioning it until now. I think what I'll do to save time is I'll just introduce everybody here all at once and then we'll proceed in order here. Professor Samuel Bostaff has been the chairman of the economics department at the University of Dallas for almost 30 years now. He has many scholarly affiliations and publications that deserve recognition, and I'll cite just a few. He's a member of the Philadelphia Society, the American Economic Association, and a member of the Society for the Development of Austrian Economics. And I think it's in this area of Austrian economic theory that he's made some very special contributions, focusing a lot of attention on the work of Karl Menger and also Friedrich von Weizsäcker. David Keyes is the director and co-founder of CyberDissidents.org. CyberDissidents is best described as a human rights organization dedicated to promoting the voices of pro-democracy internet activists in the Arab world, and especially in Iran. The philosophy of the organization is based off the experiences of Nathan Sharansky and other Soviet dissidents. On the end here is Adam Kuiper with the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Mr. Kuiper founded a new quarterly publication called The New Atlantis, a Journal of Technology and Society, which is published by the EPPC. It's a quarterly journal that focuses a lot of attention on the moral and political understanding of all areas of technology. Some of the recent editions, I think, have focused on the question of stem cell research. So without any further from me, Professor Bostaff, I'm hoping you go first.